Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're looking back at what is really going on in North Korea, the persecution of the citizens, and the persecution of Christians is taking place. And they have these camps called camps or gulags, where they're actually taking the citizens. If you're a Christian, you're really going to go there, and they abuse you. And so they don't have any pictures from that because
it's a closed state.
It's a closed state. But the prisoners that were there, who got out, did sketches of what was taking place right there. And it's horrific things taking place. And so we're going to do two things. You'll see running behind us those sketches. And I want to tell you that it's definitely parental guidance suggested. You might not want your kids to see it. But we have to understand, why are we sending our soldiers over there now? Why are we talking about ending this regime? Why are we talking about this? Because of what we're about to talk about is taking place there. And God is a just God. God doesn't want that to happen to the human race. The Christians that are being persecuted there is way worse than that. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see these images. These are sketches that were sketched by previous people who were being persecuted, citizens of North Korea who were being persecuted inside the gulags or the camps that are there. And so we're going to read about it. But what the imagery you're going to see behind us as we're reading this, as John's reading this, is the sketches done by the former prisoners who were in there. It's just shocking. But so prepare yourself. John, what did the Washington Post, was it?
Actually, the Christian Post, very interesting article that really begins to uncover a lot of the things that are happening in North Korea.
And they compared them to Nero, right, in Rome?
Well, one of the authors here, you know, compares the persecutions happening to Christians. It's right on course with what happened with Nero. And if you remember Nero, he was actually putting Christians on torches, on
poles.
Well,
he burned down half the city and blamed it on the Christians.
Yeah.
He had a garden, and he put the Christians on a pole and set them on fire and lit his gardens.
So that he can see at night his garden. Right, this is what he did to Christians, dipped them in oil.
Right.
So they're making this comparison. But according to a prominent human rights activist, Greg Scarlatou, he said during a Capitol Hill briefing Wednesday, they convened by the religious freedom advocacy group International Christian Concern, activists and North Korean defector extensively detailed the grave human rights abuses Christians and all others who live under the rule of the communist Kim regime endure. And they urged lawmakers...
So he's a defector and he's writing about it.
Well, no, not him.
He interviewed a defector.
Correct. He interviewed a defector. They spoke to lawmakers. They're having a policy day on Capitol Hill.
This is horrific what's taking place to the Korean people. I mean...
Yeah, so they're urging lawmakers to support a resolution to reauthorize a North Korean Human Act of 2004. And that act, you know, they want to reauthorize it because it's run out. Well, some senators were there. They spoke as well.
Senator Ted Cruz
Ted Cruz, okay. James Lankford of Oklahoma, Chris Smith of New Jersey, and a few others.
Uh-huh.
But this is what came out. They said the human rights advocates with years of experience in dealing with North Korea outlined how the Kim regime has nearly wiped out Christianity in the closed-off, isolated nation.
They almost wiped out Christianity in this closed-off nation. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And you'll notice what we're seeing here is that, you know, the Kim family, three Kims, he's a third-generation Kim.
Yes. That grandfather, father, and now son.
They're setting themselves up saying they're God, and their people are supposed to worship them. But the thing they're in competition with is God. And so they're trying to get all of God's children out of the nation so that they would worship him and not worship God.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing, the persecution of Christians.
Yeah, okay. Because early on there was a thriving Christian community. You'll find out more, but it's wiped away. As the tragedy of Korean separation continues, after almost seven decades, one remembers that the northern half of the Korean peninsula was once the cradle of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
So think about it. So this was actually the center, the epicenter of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
There were so many Christians in North Korea that it was called, the nickname for the capital was called East Jerusalem East.
Wow.
There was that many Christians.
And so you see the enemy coming in now and through the Kim family and trying to destroy the people. But his competition is not with man, it's with God.
It's with God.
Yeah.
So Greg Scarlett Chu, he leads this Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. He has led the publication of at least 24 reports and books on the Kim's regimes, the human rights abuses, and said during a panel discussion about these things with other human rights experts. Now, also in the article also states that prior to the communist takeover, the capital city used to be known as Jerusalem of the East. Mm. He continued that in North Korea, Christianity was once a way of life, with two churches on the same street corner being a common sight.
It sounds like America today.
Yeah.
The two churches on the same street corner is the way of life, that we're a Judeo-Christian nation. But they're sending us warnings now because we're in the early stages. If we don't wake up, that's the ultimate goal of the adversary.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Scarlett Chu continues to explain.
This is the Post, right? Christian Post.
Correct. It was started in 1946 when the Provisional People's Committee for North Korea forced the closure of churches with congregations that did not meet a predetermined required number of people.
So the government started setting rules. We would say that's a violation of our First Amendment because we have the Constitution.
Because we have the Constitution.
The government shall make no laws concerning the church. And this is why. Because all of a sudden they started minimalizing the church. And we had two churches on every street corner, basically, he said, right? And so when they started making laws, they started to control. Once they can put laws on something, they can control. If you have the power to tax, you have the power to destroy. If you have the power to make laws over something, you have the power to end something.
But they saw it as an extreme threat. They had to get rid of it. You'll see.
Because they wanted to be God. They wanted to be set up as God. Yes. I mean, this is what they're saying.
But this is common for all dictators. This is happening with Pol Pot as well in Cambodia, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. But he said God is dead. This guy's saying he is God.
Yeah.
He's saying he is God. Okay.
Well, the committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day.
So the groundwork of this beginning, this hub of Christian activity in this nation began with putting laws on the church and then said that you cannot gather in houses. It has to be done in a public in this amount of place. So they're against churches meeting in houses.
Yes.
You couldn't do that. And then made Sunday a work day.
Right.
So they were trying to get
people busy, disrupt the flow of society.
This is how, how it ended up. You're looking at sketches right now behind us of the tragedy of previous inmates that have been in these persecuted camps in North Korea. God's wanting to end this. Obviously, he's like, this is it. And that's how Satan hates you. I mean, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. And when he sees you, you remind him of God. And he has been rejected by God because of what he did. He set himself up as God. Yeah. Remember in the very beginning, he says, I will exalt my throne above his throne. And he made that decision, and that's when he got cast down as he is now. And now you're looking at the same battle spiritually happening, but it's manifesting through people like Kim and others there.
I don't know who said it, but someone said absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this is something that you're seeing in this regime over three generations.
We'll be right back.
If you would drive through this area, you would see the devastation. It's just crazy the amount of devastation. House is totally gone. Apartment complex behind me here, people still don't have electric water. We're bringing them food. Yesterday, I brought about 200 meals out here to them yesterday, and we came back tonight to give them dinner. When I saw Operation Blessing, I seen exactly what they were doing, how they were setting up the organization. They were so organized. They came in with the food trailers. They had everything set in place to know that they need to get the management of it out there so they can control a lot of the volunteer work. So it goes a lot smoother by having Operation Blessing involved, and they get involved with different churches. So anything anybody can do to help Operation Blessing, they're amazing people, the people that are running this show, and they do great work, and it's an amazing thing to watch and see. It's actually a blessing to sit back and observe the love and compassion, because that's the biggest thing that you see when you're here. You get all the gratefulness from the people, but you get to see the love and compassion. Now, if you can't make it here, There's other ways you can help and serve also these people that are in such need right now, by going to OB.org and partnering with them so that they can get supplies to bring out here, because believe me, the semi-trucks are rolling in. I saw probably 10 of them today. And they'll utilize that to the best abilities for these people out here, because they are truly, truly in need.
The Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are looking at the tragedy, what's going on behind the walls, behind the camps in North Korea. I mean, Germany was horrific. This is worse than Germany that's going on, it looks like. The persecution that's taking place. And we're going to have, and make sure you stay tuned to this program, because we're going to have in this program in a little bit actual witnesses, former prisoners and prison guards sharing what took place there, and you're gonna hear firsthand knowledge. And what you're about to see behind us while we're finishing this article with the Christian Post, I want to prepare you. It's parental guidance suggested, but there's no pictures being taken of the persecution in these camps. So former prisoners have written sketches. And so what you're seeing are sketches of people trying to communicate what is going on. And you'll hear them firsthand talk about it a little bit later in this program. But we're reading from the Christian Post about what's happening inside of North Korea. It used to be a hub of the Presbyterian Church. Who would ever thought it would have come to something like this?
Jerusalem East.
And now look what the enemy's doing to that particular region. God's wanting to free that up, I believe. What else did they say in the Christian Post?
So just to kind of connect the dots here, you know, we were talking about what this regime was trying to do was just remove every existence of the Christian church, God.
Yeah, because he wants to set himself as God.
Well, he is setting himself as God.
He's saying he
to
is,
those
obviously.
People, of course, right? You know. And the people are worshiping him, but the article.
If they don't, they go to camps.
Yeah, tortured,
this torture killed. Stuff. Okay.
And so the article continues to say that the committee.
By the way, you're seeing some of these images. They're comparing it to Auschwitz and some others. So you're going straight from Auschwitz and some of these images, and then you go into North Korea. So you're seeing the two comparisons, and what the author was saying was, it's the same thing that was going on, the persecution taking place.
Yeah. The committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day. And this was just the beginning, he added, under the pretext that the sound of religious songs disturbed public life. That same committee asked churches to relocate.
So it says you're a noise disturbance. Yeah. You're a worship of God. Think about it. How much the adversary hates worship. Hmm. When you worship God, they're manifesting that reality that if I have control, I'm going to shut down your worship.
Yes.
It was bugging him that people were singing praises to God.
You know, this advocacy group that's sharing the awareness of the persecuted church, they for the first time listed the United States as a country now that is open to persecuting
it's the
Christians.
The beginning stages, just
it's
like
in
they
the beginning
began.
Stages.
Because that was like East Jerusalem, that's what they called it, was such so of God, Judeo-Christian country, and now look what's taking place. So it was a great place before, in regards to the church, to where it's ended up now.
Okay. Yeah, the reason being is they were forcing the church out from the public square into the private, you know, just.
Well, they wouldn't even let you meet in the houses. And they have yeah. But remember this too, that anytime somebody wants communism and socialism, this is where it ends up. Because mm-hmm. the next thing you're talking about is the Communist Party, right? Agitators?
Agitators were right? inserted into Christian communities and church assemblies. They began criticizing the sermons as being unprogressive.
Paul warned about these. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, watch out. He says, those that come amongst you, they're not of you. Mm-hmm. And obviously they begin to infiltrate the churches, and people probably thought there's just an agitated member, we just need to calm them down. But what was really going on is what you're seeing these images behind us, that's what the enemy had in mind. He wanted to destroy the church. And so you got to really you need to get a tight relationship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You should know if a wolf's amongst you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, wolves have come amongst you, they're not even to spare the body. And that's what they were doing there, right? They sent in agitators, okay.
It was 1962 that then leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security agency that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people, according to Scarlett
Chu. So people who have religious beliefs were getting in the way of their plans.
Yeah, their agenda.
That reminds me exactly what Hillary Clinton was saying. She wanted to change fundamental religious beliefs. That's the same thing they're doing. As a matter of fact, do we have that play that? This is Hillary Clinton saying that fundamental religious beliefs need to be changed. That's exactly what they're saying in North Korea.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
Let's hear that one more time. Think about this. Let's hear that one more time.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
So let's go back and read that again. Let's go back and read that again right here. He said specifically,
it was in 1962 that then leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people.
So what she was saying is that the same thing, you got to get rid of.
Got to get rid of them.
Christians. You got to get rid of religious people who have faith. You got to let government be God. This is, North Korea has turned into where government has become God, the leader of that government.
There's many people in this nation that want to see the same thing happen.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of times they don't understand that that's the goal of the enemy. It might not be your goal,
right?
But that's the goal of darkness. And eventually, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And obviously, look at this. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Mm. And so we have to turn back to God as a nation, right?
Yeah. They continue to say in this article, this is why we have to put on trial and punish those who hold positions of deacon or higher in the Protestant or Catholic churches.
So this literally started talking about positions in the church.
Yes.
Well, people get rid of titles and hurry them. I don't need a title. But that's what they started going specifically out the authority in the church.
Yes,
went straight
targeting them.
Yes.
Scarlett Chu continues to explain that in 1948, about one quarter of the North Korean population was of some religious belief.
But 25%. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But statistical data today shows that number is now below 1%.
So it went from 25% of a population now lower than 1%. And that's not even documented now because it's getting so...
Yeah, so watered down.
And people are going into this environment, risking their lives to spread the gospel. It's amazing what's taking place,
The article continues to say that like other communist leaders, as mentioned earlier, Kim Il-sung and the Kim's regime has rejected religion as the opium of the people.
God's gun and gold. You remember somebody talking about that they run to God, their guns and gold. And it's like, if you don't know that there is a God, that doesn't probably make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But if you understand God is real, He exists, He created everything, He holds everything together, and that you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And of course you run into your creator. Of course you go to Him in times of this kind of, all
it's
these kinds of.
Relationship.
Yeah, it's a personal relationship. It's not opium. Opium's opium. God is it's a personal relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, but they realize
something's happening
to this population.
Something is happening.
Because they're okay. We're doing things to them, but they're okay. We're persecuting them, but they're okay. We got to get rid of their faith.
Which has scared them to realize there's something to, it's
right.
God.
Right.
You can't mess with God.
Right. And I'm sure they couldn't figure out. It's like, I punched him in one cheek, but he turned the other cheek.
That's right.
He asked him to go 1 mile, but he went 2 miles. This thing is like an opium. And it's like the love of God. I mean, they probably, no telling how many rewards this church in Korea is going to have in North Korea because they've gone through the worst
untold
persecution.
Untold suffering, really.
Yeah.
Well, the article continues to state that North Korean society is split up into social classes in which every single North Korean resident is classified according to their political risk to the Kim regime. According to Liberty in North Korea, about 27% of North Korean population is assigned to the hostile class, the lowest class, which consists of political dissidents of the communist regime, religious citizens, capitalists, and other descendants.
So literally 27% has been marginalized and said these are
troublemakers.
Troublemakers because they have faith.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, you're going to hear firsthand reports from former prisoners and former guards in these camps. And remember, when you're seeing the news and you're hearing us talk about aircraft carriers are off the coast in the China Sea of North Korea, imagine you being inside these camps. That we got to have empathy for the human race that's being hurt and injured and murdered. And it's just horrific what's taking place over there.
We'll be right back.
The entrance to the Museum of the Bible may be the most photographed museum entrance in Washington, D.C.
Visitors will be welcomed by dramatic 40-foot-high bronze gates emblazoned with Genesis 1 from the Gutenberg Bible, with panels mimicking the Latin, typeset backwards, as it would have been on the Gutenberg press.
A unique piece of art hangs in the lobby, a glass panel displaying Psalm 19 from a papyrus leaf from the museum collections. The Greek text dates to the 3rd or 4th century, a 1,500-year-old manuscript on display inside the museum.
Museum of the Bible invites all people to engage with the Bible in a museum experience unlike anything seen before, all in honor of the Bible. Engage with the Book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible, opening in November in Washington, D.C.
Let's talk today about two kinds of children that are seen in every school classroom. Those in the first category are by nature rather organized individuals who just care about details. They take the learning process very seriously and they assume full responsibility for assignments given. To do poorly on a test would depress them for several days. Parents of these children don't have to monitor their progress to keep them working. It's their way of life, and it's consistent with their temperaments. In the second category of children are the boys and girls who just don't fit in with the structure of the classroom. They're sloppy, disorganized, and flighty. They have a natural aversion to work, and they love to play. They can't wait for success, so they hurry on without it. Like bacteria that gradually become immune to antibiotics, the classic underachievers become impervious to adult pressure. They withstand a storm of parental protest every few weeks, and then when no one's looking, they slip back into apathy. They don't even hear the assignments being given in school, and they seem not to be embarrassed in the least when they fail to complete them. If they graduate at all, it's not going to be cum laude, it's thank you, laude. We really should talk more about these disorganized children because God sure made a lot of them. They drive their parents to distraction, and their unwillingness to work can turn their homes into World War III. I have some suggestions that may help, and we'll discuss a few of them tomorrow.
The wisdom moment today is from Proverbs 22, verse 22 through 23. It reads, "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them." You think about it. A generation that forgets the poor has forgotten God. When we lose God's perspective on those who lack are in need, we lose our perspective of him, his heart, his defense of the poor. I mean, you think about this in manufacturing. I used to think years ago that those who sought out how our clothes and our products were made are just trying to stir up trouble. Mm-hmm. But once I saw how some of the products and the clothing was made so we can get good pricing, and how the business owners and corporations exploited the poor in their company's name to get this profit,
I realized that they're doing God's work. They're doing God's work, no matter their motives. Mm-hmm. If they reveal that we are a nation, as a nation, are exploiting the poor, it helps us as believers to respond accordingly. I mean, you think about it. Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of time to kind of stay, but understand that God takes the case of the poor. I mean, you think about the poor and going to court. In America, one of these evidence that we are a Judeo-Christian nation is that we tell everybody in America, you have a right to a lawyer, and if you can't afford one, we will appoint one to represent you. Think about it. We read everyone there that's arrested what we call the Miranda warnings. This is what we tell them. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to represent you before questioning you if you wish. Do you understand these rights that I've read to you? I mean, you think, as a law enforcement officer, I used to think, this is really getting in the way. Mm-hmm. Then as I became a believer and I got saved when I was in law enforcement, I realized, hey, this is God's work.
That's right.
Just because they don't have money doesn't mean they don't have rights. And more so, since it's a Judeo-Christian nation, that we should be able to stand up and say, listen, hold on a minute. We'll give you an attorney. We want an attorney to represent you in the courts. That's God's business. It's so important it's so important to God how we treat the poor and the needy, that if we don't treat them well and lend to them and help empower them and ensure that they get justice and refuse to exploit them, that God himself will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Justice.
That's why we as Christians should be very careful what's happening with the medical insurance stuff that's going on in America, because if there's somebody not being cared for, we need to think about that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So when we see a corporation or a business, for example, get sued in courts for making their money off harming someone or has someone who's become a victim of their exploitive practices, and a major judgment is placed against them for millions of dollars, which will be distributed to that particular victim, you define that as them being plundered. Mm. You're plundering that corporation. If they have exploited the poor, making their money off plundering those who are in need, it can very well be the Lord himself that is behind their corporations being plundered as he takes up their case. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 22:22-23. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.